Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Power to Be You and Rise to Win for Our Youth on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Sandra Bueno and I am coming to you live from West Palm Beach in Florida. Today's program will feature 30 minutes of a very aware, inspiring, and incredible show whereby we have a community leader who will be coming online in just a few moments to discuss who he is, what he is doing in our community, his vision, his insight, and truly where we as individuals, as community members, as well as leaders, not just for ourselves, our families, but also for the youth of our country and our world, are doing and can be doing. So we have a half an hour show today. The presenter that I will be introducing to you is Pastor Alex Best. Pastor Alex Best is from Dominion Ministries. And before I bring him online, I'd like to read just a sentence from Hillary Clinton's book, It Takes a Village. This actually is from page 9. And it says, how well we care for our own and other people's children isn't only a question of morality. Our self-interest is at stake too. No family is immune to the influences of the large society. I don't want my own child to grow up in America sharply divided by income, race, or religion. This is something that really is at the core, I believe, today in what is taking place within our communities. There is a dividing line between morality, between ethics, between education. There is so much going on that truly I feel that Pastor Alex Best is going to be able to present an outlook and a view that many people will agree with, and yet many people might not want to stand up publicly and declare. So with that said, I'd like to welcome Pastor Alex Best online on the show. Are you on here?
Yes, I'm on here.
Welcome, welcome, and thank you for agreeing to be on this show. It is a privilege to be able to have you join me. You are someone that I've connected with in the community, and we met, I would say, close to 2 years ago, and throughout that time, while I have been working on putting together the Rise to Win for Our Youth movement and just bringing advocacy and awareness to what we as adults must do to support our youth and the changes that we must be willing to embrace, our paths have crossed. And from the experience that we have shared and our partnership with the Circuit 15 Juvenile Justice Board, as well as the Faith and Community-Based Network, these are different organizations that we're both a part of. You are an actual member. I am a community member. So I see the work that you've done, Pastor Alex Best, and you just truly are an inspiration. You are a motivation, and you are someone that I am so happy to be able to share this platform with, because you are making change happen, and everything that you do, whether you see the results immediately, they are going to be creating transformation. So welcome on the show.
And thank you very much, and I commend you for your efforts also. I see you are tenacious about what you do.
Someone has to do it. I know you agree.
Yes, I agree.
Well, definitely I want to make sure that the guests get a lot of content and value from so much of the truth and the wisdom that you bring, as well as your knowledge and insight. And first, before we continue, can you please give the audience your information, where they can reach you, where they can find you online? That way, immediately, they have that.
We have a website. It's dominionoutreach.com, www.dominionoutreach.com. If you go to that website, it'll give you all the information about our ministry. My email address is alex@dominionoutreach.com. And also you can reach me by phone. My personal number is 561-512-7300. And I'm available just about all the time.
Excellent, excellent. And I will let the audience know that Pastor Best comes, and his knowledge comes from not not just, and I don't mean that in the not just, because that is the ultimate sense, your knowledge and insight comes from Scripture and is Scripture-based and the power of God in our lives and the purpose that we have as individuals to go forward, but also it comes from his awareness and education via alternatives and just options that we all have as individuals to take our lives forward and to bring into our heads and into our minds what we need to have in order to make a difference for God, for ourselves, and for everyone else. So you are an embodiment of this and a leader in this. So I commend you, and I want you to definitely start sharing. If you could please let us know how you got started with Dominion, why it was that was such an important goal for you.
Well, I was a pastor in the church. I was an assistant pastor, and throughout my training and moving from churches within the denomination, I kept seeing a need that was not met. We seemed to be more focused on activities within the building and not outside the building. And my interpretation of the Great Commission is that we are supposed to go and make disciples. It doesn't mean waiting for them to come. And in order to do that, that doesn't mean that we have to go out and hit everybody upside the head with a Bible. It means that we're supposed to go out and address the needs of the community. And in doing so, people take note of what we're trying to do, and they know that we care. And then they'll come to find out how they can do the same thing. Discipling means that not only am I I have to be discipled first before I can disciple someone else. And it has to do with learning how to live. And most of the churches that I have been a part of did not have a discipleship program. By that I mean they didn't teach folk what they were supposed to do once they got saved or once they joined the church. We got a lot of people who join the church, but they never become the church. And the church has become more of a business now, I think, than it is a saving grace. We look at everything, and the bottom line is basically has dollar signs in front of it. And I think that the church should be the greatest source of volunteer labor, so to speak, of any other organizations. Most of the organizations that we are familiar with that we term charitable organizations are really doing what the church should be doing. And the reason that we are having difficulty now with funding is because everybody wants to do what they should be doing out of the goodness of their heart and get a check right after they finish. And I think that if we don't learn how to work together and help each other, then we are really spinning our wheels. Now, what I did was I founded Dominion Ministries along with four other pastors in 2004, and my idea was to get churches and secular organizations working together, sitting down at the table, all on the same page, realizing that if we don't work together, we can't solve the problems of the community. And my opinion is that if God is not part of your solution, he's part of your problem. And so we have to understand that we can come up with all the solutions that we need for the problems that confront us, and they'll just be temporary solutions because once we run out of funds, nobody's going to do anything anymore. But God has the answer to every problem that we have, and it involves us. As far as I'm concerned, we know what the problem is, and the problem is us. And as soon as when we stop trying to do better and start trying to be better, then everything is going to fall into place. So Dominion Ministries was founded with the premise that what we can all do as churches, as spiritual organizations, as agencies and schools and law enforcement, all of those entities should be working together to solve our problems. And until we start to communicate and work together, we're still going to have problems. So in order for us to solve our problem, we need to understand each other. So what I do is I started going out and I started attending the school board meetings. I got involved with DJJ, and I was asked to be on the board. Now I'm on several boards, and I basically, for about a year and a half, all I was doing was sitting down, gathering information, finding out how these other entities work and what they were trying to do. And at the same time, I was asking God to show me his plan and his purpose. And then if I was in the room representing him, then his answer to the problem could be voiced. And so what I want to be, as far as Dominion is concerned, is the conduit for communication between all of these entities so that we can all work together. And the people who are part of Dominion Ministries are dedicated and committed to doing the same thing. So what I want to be an agency or a corporation. We are 501c3, and what we want to do is we want to be there so that when people have a need, they can call us. If we can't help them, we can tell them exactly who can and lead them in the right direction. And that's basically my purpose for. We have several workshops that we do and several projects that we're working on, and we can get into that later.
Well, I've taken so many notes because you've hit on so many different points that are the truth, and of course there's so many. For example, I love when you said God has the answer to every problem, and instead of being better, we need to do better, and bringing God into
instead of trying to do better, we need to be better.
We're always
trying to do better without trying to be better.
Exactly, and the whole point of God being in our realm of existence and of being is what really will set that standard whereby behavior and relationships and communication and goals really take on a different level, because we're all working from the same platform of saying, how can we work together to make change and to bring good to this situation, specifically as we all deal with right now with the crisis that our youth are facing, not just the economy, not just the parents, not just the organizations, but all of this is falling on the shoulders of these youth whom you and I and everyone else listening is dependent on for our future. That is why for me this is a crisis, because I'm looking ahead 40 years from now where you and I are here, thankfully. You and I and many other people are also on a journey to do and make a difference and create change. But, you have one person and then you have 1,000 who aren't on the same page.
That's true. We have a lot of youth today who are lost because they're being led by folk who are blind to the truth.
And it's exactly it.
And the underprivileged and the overprivileged have the same problem. There's the absence of guidance and direction in both households. Yeah, you got underprivileged kids today who have either no parent or one parent, and that parent is so stressed out trying to survive that they can't teach the kid how to live. And then you got the overprivileged who have parents who are affluent. And they're doing so well that they're not there either. So all of these kids are lost.
Well, just this morning we had in the meeting that I attended, the example was brought about of kids who are brought into the juvenile assessment center or they're released from the detention center, and there's no parent to come and pick them up. Some parents will actually say, well, can't you keep them? That is the sad fact that now this child is left there, wandering about without direction, without sense of belonging, without any future vision of what else is here for my life. And everywhere he goes, he meets people who sometimes are not there to really look out for them, or who are busy, or, just so many different things that are taking place. But I like what you also shared, that for a year and a half it took you that long to basically, or that's how much time you invested in order to gather this info about all of the different organizations and what's taking place. And while you were doing that, you were also asking and dealing with God to show you the plan. And I see.
I realized that what I was in the middle of was confusion. We have meetings where everybody has an answer. Okay, that's well and good, but if we don't have, I have a Chrysler. I don't call Ford, I don't call Buick, I don't call Chevy when my Chrysler has a problem because they didn't make the Chrysler. I call Chrysler. And so all of us are trying to solve these problems that we have created by not listening to our maker. You know, we got free will. And so free will is both a blessing and a curse. It allows us to make the choice of whether we want to listen to him or listen to ourselves. And most of the time, we're satisfied mostly with ourselves.
I want to keep on listening. because that's the thought.
You think about the youth today. The youth are confused by us because mm-hmm. they see us operating in confusion. And it's getting downright ridiculous now, some of the stuff that we do. If you pick up the newspaper, and I was at a meeting this morning, and our school board is trying everything it can. My wife is a school teacher, and they have all of these things that they're trying. They had a program, and I forgot the name of it. It had something to do with, it was called Spirituality for Kids, and they have a website. And they basically come in, and in a way, they teach these principles to these kids, mainly elementary kids, because they are most impressionable. And what they're teaching them are truths, but you don't have to be, it has nothing to do with religion. Now, I understand why they're doing it that way. They're doing it because the society we live in, when the minute you say religion, everybody gets turned off. Because even in the church today, we want to have Christianity without Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want to mention that because then folk get offended. Well, as far as my Bible is concerned, it teaches me that I need to tell the truth, and the truth offends folk. The folk who are offended by the truth are the folk who need it. And so some of us have to be bold enough to stand up and tell the truth in a room where nobody wants to hear the truth so that nobody has an excuse for not doing the truth. There are some of us who realize what our purpose is. And until you realize what your purpose is, you're just shooting in the dark. It's all trial and error. You're just trying this and trying that. And what we live in now is a system where we try all of these things and new things that come up, and we try to see what works. In the meantime, the child who needs direction is confused by all of this new stuff you're trying. Whatever happened to the basics? You know, if you want to read, you got to learn your ABCs, so to speak. And there's only one way to learn it. But what we do is we come up with all these other different alternatives. What we had worked at one time, but then what happens is we start to compromise, and because that's the way things are, we start doing things not to offend folk. What about offending God?
Mm.
You know, how does he feel? I was asking somebody the other day, I had this thought. If we were having church on Sunday and Jesus walked in, would we recognize him? More than likely we wouldn't. And then would he be pleased with the service? More than likely he wouldn't. And most of us have not even considered that, and so we're not really considering our purpose on this earth. My purpose is to make my God look good because he made me. So it's just like that Chrysler that I bought. When they bring out that new model, They put it on the showroom floor because it's supposed to represent the company that made it and look so good that you want that car. So when I walk out and do whatever it is I do on a daily basis, I'm supposed to be a reflection of the God who made me, and I'm supposed to be doing everything I do in such a way that when you see me, you see him, and you want some of that. And if our kids don't see that, then they're seeing the wrong thing, and they're looking for an alternative.
Well, you know what? Even if, you know, you brought the actual point to be said, which when we speak of God, you know, and we say, and you even mentioned it to me before, you know, it's about not just talking about it, but doing. And when you do, and people who truly are about God, the principles of God are to do good and to not agree with injustice, and to, you know, to bring beauty, to bring peace, to bring harmony, to bring respect, to bring love. Those are the principles that are exemplified through us having a belief and a knowledge and a real physical and emotional and spiritual connection to our Creator. And that is what is missing, because we're only looking at our lives from a physical standpoint. And obviously the physical evidence of how we've been living our life is what is drawing and bringing all this attention to, you know, where we are living, our market, our economy, the housing situation, the crisis everywhere you look. You know, the school board, for as long as they continue saying, well, we're going to bring in programs, but we're not going to really address the fundamental issues of our humanity and who we are as individuals, where we are not just physical, but we are also spiritual, a child cannot get any sense of what is right, what is wrong. Are there consequences? What will happen if I disobey? Or what will happen if I go in and hurt somebody? What happens if I take this gun and shoot this person? You know, just in less than a week, and I started this program off on Monday, basically in less than 4 days, we had 4 incidents where one youth was killed by another youth in high school because of an emotional issue. That was an emotional issue where this one girl had no other alternative or other resources within herself to realize and to say, you know what, I'm going to show this other girl how it feels to feel the way that I feel right now. That is a cry. You know, that is a cry to say, I am missing so many things in my life, and it's not being filled or filled with anything that I see outside. So, you know, for me, it's so important to really also, you know, impress upon people that it is the strongest principle is lies in human choice. And this is something that George Eliot said, the strongest principle of growth lies in human choice. And today we have a choice. We have a choice in deciding to take things forward and deciding to break that those binds and those chains from, you know, the past of behavior, of choice, of decision. And there are resources, and you are one of those resources. You are a resource that you bring so much because you have undertaken the education, you have sacrificed, and you continue to do so. You do a lot of this outreach with the education board, you do it through Dominion Ministries, through your church, you do it through LaRed teachings, you do a round table, and all of this you're not getting paid for, correct?
No, I'm not getting paid in cash.
Okay.
I tell you what, I have on Saturdays I go out to the prison in South Bay, and the men who are waiting when I get there are more appreciative of what I do. My reward is seeing the look on their faces, because I teach a discipleship class out there, and I give – there's John Tolson, who's the chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys, has a book called The Four Priorities, and we use that workbook with the men. And it's the – we have a workshop that we do that we offer to churches, any organization really, but most of the churches, it's called God's Plan for God's People, and it's basically talking about discipleship. And after I finish that workshop, I introduce that particular workbook to them, and they can use that to start a discipleship program. But it tells you basically about life and how to live it in a way that folk will see God in you. And what we are so busy trying to do church work instead of the work of the church. You know, what we do is we treat it as a business, and God didn't treat it as a business. You know, we're not called to be successful. God didn't call us to be successful. He called us to be faithful. And you can't be faithful and not be successful. But you can be successful and not be faithful. You know, we focus on the wrong thing. The Bible, which is what I believe in, and that's how I live my life, by Scripture. Because Scripture does not separate the spiritual from the physical. In fact, according to Scripture, the spiritual is more real than the physical. And until we understand that, we get life all messed up because we want to separate the two. And so the life that we live in front of our kids is mostly physical, and we got that messed up so bad that we're confused, and they see the confusion. A child is able to see things from a simple point of view, and they see the confusion early on. And if that confusion continues, they think that's the norm. And then we criticize them for acting confused once they get of an age where we think they ought to have it together. But
exactly.
We're the example.
And then we label it, and then we put them and we, you know, put them aside, and we let them deal because we don't have solutions, quote unquote. Now, for me and for you, you and I know that we do have solutions, and this is what Rise to Win for our youth movement is. This is what Loretta is doing. This is what Dominion Ministers is doing. This is what everyone within, or not everyone, but a lot of people within the, you know, different organizations, Circuit 15. I mean, we have a very good friend, Jay Bonner, who is spearheading, you know, an awareness. And it takes a few individuals to come together and to make, you know, to take momentum forward and to make a difference. And I believe that we all are. And, you know, I want to use these last 3 minutes to give you an open venue where you can say truly, you know, a what if scenario. You know, what if you could speak to Barack Obama right now and say, you know, this is what I believe, you know, you should do, or what I believe needs to take place. What can you say? What would you like to say?
Well, you know, that whole platform was built on change, and everybody is looking for change now, but the change they are looking for is in the form of a bailout. You know, everybody would like to get a check, and they think that the change is going to occur by putting new people in place and putting more money into the system. So the funny thing to me is that they're going to bail out the rich guys, so the rich guys can lend us more money, and the money that they're bailing them out with is our money. But the change that needs to occur is the change in the attitudes of every man, woman, and child. We need to realize that we are not in charge. The God who made us is. And until we start living our lives in a way that pleases Him, we're going to always have problems with each other. We got to work together. We got to all become one people and not let prejudices and color and all of this other stuff separate us, because it's getting to the point now where if we don't work together, none of us are going to survive. So I got to look at children as not just my children. All children are my children. When children look at us as adults, they got to look at all of us as parents, and we got to treat each other that way. I have to look at my sister as my sister, whether she's in my house or not. Every woman is my sister. The older women, all of them, I got to treat them like my mother. I got to treat older men like my father. We got to look at all of this stuff as family. And until we start functioning as a family, as a functional family, we're all going to be in trouble, which we are now, because we don't treat each other right. And until I start treating myself right, I'm not going to treat you right. And the only reason I can treat myself right is because I know my God, and I know he loves me. And I have to share that love with you.
Well, Pastor Bess, you have done that with us, and I thank you, because you've really brought it down to the one nation under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all. And I agree with you. I partner with you. I am proud to know you and to call you a friend, but to also call you a mentor, because you are leading us forward. And I know that this, just you being on this program, is going to go far. And I commend you for your work. I thank you for that tenacity you've had, and I look forward to being a partner in change. So thank you, and we will be speaking shortly again.
Thanks, my sister.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.